You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast. On the 13th of May 2013, Times Higher Education reporter Chris Parr met Universities and Science Minister David Willetts at the opening of a new postgraduate centre at the University of Bedfordshire. The interview begins with a discussion about the provision of postgraduate study in the UK.
Postgraduate students, obviously, we're in a new centre. You mentioned anxiety. Are you concerned, sort of, I mean, in the new fees era, what those sort of charges might do to the number of homegrown postgraduate students at UK universities?
Well, I mean, I do, as I said, I do recognise that postgraduate provision is becoming a more significant issue. And as I say, I think it's because the postgraduate qualifications are becoming more important in our national, in the overall labour market. But remember that when they emerge from university under our system, postgraduates will be paying back a lower percentage of their earnings. They'll be paying back less than they do at the moment because they'll be paying back from a threshold of 21,000, not a threshold of 15,000. And as it is, basically a graduate repayment scheme with lower monthly thresholds, with lower monthly payments because of higher thresholds, I don't see why that of itself should be any reason for someone to not go forward to postgraduate provision.
Even though the total amount paid back is considerably higher. Yeah.
Because if you think of, we've had this conversation over the years, but it's like saying, well, they're going to pay £1 million of income tax that they can't afford. It's far better to think of this as a flow of future payments. And once you recognise it's a flow of future payments, where if any point your income falls below 21,000, the flow of payments stops, and it's 9%, I think it's about 20,000. Thinking of it as a sort of pile of debt doesn't really capture the reality. It's not like having debt on your credit card or even a mortgage. And of course, universities, they used to have mortgages. Labour introduced mortgage-style loans. So it's not like that. It's basically 9% out of PAYE on earnings above 21,000. And that's not a reason why anyone should not go forward for postgraduate provision.
So in terms of postgraduate numbers, you're not concerned about the home numbers?
Well, we will monitor it. But there are lots of different things happening. And when you look behind the headlines, I recognise that, for example, there's probably less, at the moment, probably less investment in postgrad provision amongst some of the public services. I think some, and I realise that the research councils have concentrated more on doctoral training centres, though at their peak they're only about 5% of postgrad provision. So there's lots of different cross currents. But we will monitor it very closely, and I realise, and I pick it up, I realise that there are people in the sector who worry, and I realise it's very significant. But my personal view is the reason why it's actually becoming more significant is above all because there are more and more jobs where postgraduate qualification is required. I think that's actually the biggest single change. That's why I do indeed regard it as the new frontier in social mobility.
It's a lovely new building, of course. Behind every great building, I suppose, is a great pile of cash as well. On our readers' minds at the moment will be the spending review next month. What's the latest on that? Can you offer any words of reassurance? Can you give any warnings to soften the blow when it comes?
Well, obviously there are very tough negotiations underway, and I really can't give a sort of blow-by-blow commentary. But of course, we've managed so far is to deliver an increase in the cash coming to universities, even whilst there are big savings for the Exchequer, because graduates, not students, but graduates over their working lives will pay back more. So, I mean, we were able last time round to make reductions in Hefke grant at the same time actually increase cash coming to universities. Now, it is another tough, very tough situation in 15-16, and I can't really comment further at the moment. Well, the Hefke grant funding is falling rapidly, and that's because of the big reductions in Hefke grant. But there's then the income that universities have from students via loans and fees, and that more than replaces the lost Hefke grant. Mm-hmm. So the rough figures are, at the beginning of this parliament, universities were getting about 8 billion of cash for teaching, and at the end of this parliament they'll have something over 9 billion of cash for teaching approximately the same number of students. So I think to have delivered that cash increase at in an age of austerity is something that I think increasingly universities appreciate. And of course, I know there are many claims on the cash because, for example, conventional HE capital has reduced. But one thing you can use the income for is financing loans necessary for capital. Though I understand that this particular project was heavily financed out of the university's own resources because it's in a very healthy cash position.
A great fundraising push as well. Mm. You mentioned there sort of the money coming to universities from students will increase. There's been a few questions asked about that. We had Steve Smith writing in the magazine a couple of weeks ago, who said pretty bluntly that with the RAB charge perhaps not bringing in what it was first expected to, he couldn't really see this student finance system surviving. He said any government coming in 15 would look at it again. Is that true?
Well, I have, of course, enormous respect, bordering on reverence, for Professor Sir Steve Smith. But on this one occasion, I mean, the RAB charge, the issue about the RAB, I mean, and I may touch on this very briefly in my Hefty speech this week. The point about the RAB charge is that at the moment, earnings are lower than forecast. And every 6 months, there's a new OBR assessment of what's happening to earnings, and it's slightly lower than the previous forecast. And as the £21,000 threshold is fixed, it means that it's rising relative to earnings. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's pushing up the RAB charge. At some point in the future, as and when earnings rise a bit more rapidly than forecasters assess, and they're not always err on the downside, they may err in the other direction, then there will be a period when the RAB charge appears to be falling. And we have to live with this. I mean, it depends on the view you take of the exact level of wages over years to come. But that doesn't make the scheme unsustainable. The underlying logic is basically graduates, by and large, going to university is good for them and it's good for the country. We put in some of the cost through the maintenance grant, through costs of more expensive subjects, and through the cost of the RAM charge. Graduates pay some back. And that's it was described to me by the OECD, I think, is a textbook example of how to finance HE. So it's absolutely sustainable.
But you're hoping what happened in the past happens again in the future.
Well, I think then, I do believe, I know there's a lively debate about this, I believe that going to university is still not just good for society and good for the individual in a sort of social and cultural sense, it does boost your earnings. And that is indeed the logic of this. But I don't think that Steve or Barham Ratgranu or the other critics would seriously say that there's no point going to a university because there's no graduate premium. There clearly is a graduate premium. And yet, and the balance of evidence, if anything, is it's remaining fairly stable at about a net 100,000 over your working life.
Sure. I've been told I have one more question. Yeah. I'll make it a yes or no one. I'd be letting my trade down if I didn't ask. Michael Gove, Phil Hammond have been interviewed over the weekend. If there was an EU referendum today, would you vote yes or no to stay?
I'm here to focus on higher education rather than the EU.
You're going to be asking us this. You're going to ask us this question in a couple of years and expect us to have an answer. I think it's fair enough.
Today what I'm here is to talk about higher education. I want to stick to that.
David Wallace, thanks very much.
No, not at all.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.